You're listening to The Kyla Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. This week, Danny and Brittany are teaching on the topic of abusive relationships. For those in abusive relationships, it's very real and very scary. But fortunately, there is a way out. The Kyla principles are the antidote to abusive relationships, and you're about to learn what that's all about starting right now.
Well, welcome to the Kyla Show. Here we are again. We've almost to 20 episodes.
I know. We're into this.
We are committed to you guys.
We are doing this.
We are doing this. And this, I mean, we're picking up a heavier new topic than we've done in a little while, you know?
It's true, but most relationships have struggle.
Yeah,
it's not unusual to have a relationship where there is a realization that you are with someone who's not you, mm-hmm. and you're having to adjust, and that's totally normal.
Yeah,
and then there is a line, and that line carries people into experiencing abusive relationships.
Yeah,
so that's what we want to talk about for mm-hmm. the next
little bit. Mm-hmm. Which is a big topic, but mm-hmm. today we're going to focus kind of on the victim. Mm-hmm. And really, like everything, we're going to talk through our five principles. So being powerful, choosing love over fear, pursuing the goal of connection, having respectful communication, and honoring healthy boundaries. So we're going to bring all of that, just like we always do, when we're talking through this. But I think it's... You know, talking about the victim of abuse, and not necessarily, we're not addressing just physical abuse, it's the emotional, the verbal, spiritual. I mean, it's all the different forms of abuse and different things that have come through both of our desks, if you will mm-hmm. say. You have more experience than I do, especially
I'm old.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Yeah.
But I think even your degree in social work, you mm-hmm. know, that was definitely a world full of victims of abuse in one way or another, and
yeah,
pain.
It's alarming, I think, for people to understand that it takes two to participate in mm-hmm. an abusive behavior yeah. over time.
Right,
and I realize, you know, that there's grooming and there is intimidation mm-hmm. and there is a real powerlessness that one or both feel in how do we ever get out of this? Mm-hmm. We have kids, we're broke, we are whatever. You know, there's just a litany of reasons why I don't change this incredibly scary, harmful experience in my life.
Yeah.
And it's very real to people caught in it, but it's not a determiner. Mm-hmm, like I can get away yeah. from your abuse,
yeah.
but there's classically some sort of reward system built into it that I choose. And mm-hmm. that's the hard piece that for people to grab hold of, because we like to blame somebody.
Yeah.
We just want to blame somebody. And that way, if I can blame somebody, then I'm not responsible. Mm-hmm. I'm not responsible for me. I'm not responsible for taking care of what's inside my boundaries. I can recruit someone else, someone compassionate and powerful mm-hmm. to come take over my life and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Which is probably how I got into this relationship.
Right. And I think that's the, you know, just identifying the how a victim is created to some degree is the blame piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that I, you know, that's the victim, the bad guy, and the rescuer. You've talked about that before and Keep Your Love On. And just identifying that when you start to blame somebody, you become a victim. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how many.
Why is that?
Why is that?
Yeah.
I think it's literally comes down to I'm removing the responsibility of anything that I might own in this moment.
Yeah, you give your power away.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had a funny exchange on the freeway that was not very fun and at all. for me. My windshield got hit with something from someone's truck. We pulled over. We start having discussion. And I am being treated like I'm a child, being called hun, and kind of this just real passive-aggressive disrespect. And I have all the kids in the car with me. And I have a choice to make in what am I going to do with how I feel right now? Because I feel really powerless and I feel violated. Now I feel disrespected. And it was a crazy experience and I was shooken up for a little bit. But I mean, I had every opportunity to make this person a bad guy, punish, and show that I couldn't recover from this moment. Now, sure, that all happened. He did hit my car with the thing. And the injustice in me, which is very, very big.
Yes.
My whole family knows this. It's really hard for me to recover in this. But I want so badly to make him the bad guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had all this input from friends of, you know, you need to report him because he said some things that shouldn't have been said. All these different things. And I'm like, if I just keep going in this rabbit hole, I just give myself more and more permission to be a victim.
Yeah. And for me, the really rough thing is this guy's an off-duty police officer.
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, dude, you are abusing your authority. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he mentions that. That's how you learn it. He's like, I'm a cop. You're like, oh, wow, you are doing a terrible job representing authority right now because this is how you make victims.
Yeah.
This is how it happens right here.
Yeah.
You misuse your authority. You're off duty, A. B, you're talking to a lady with a car full of kids. Mm-hmm. C, something blew out of your truck, dude. Yeah. You know, take responsibility, but no.
Yeah.
And so here comes the legitimate excuse to blame someone else for how you're going to exist,
mm-hmm.
how you're going to exist emotionally, how you're going to respond behaviorally,
mm-hmm.
How long this is going to last and how it's going to shape all mm-hmm. your perceptions of all police officers ever.
Right. Which I think, you know, we had a great conversation because in the car afterwards, because Delaney was in the front seat and she's like, he's an officer. I said, you know what? Yes, that's what he said. But the reality is we know so many officers that are wonderful humans. Mm-hmm. I said, this guy is just
a punk.
Not a nice guy. I said, so whether he works at Burger King or he's an officer, he did a horrible job.
He did.
It doesn't matter what his profession is. And it was unneeded information in the moment for sure. So I think, again, just kind of being able to lead them through, we're not going to partner with being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to take this and just own it forever. And, you know, and again, I was shaken up by it, but it just was a crazy example that happened, you know, it's very much that's the start of abuse is you have this exchange. I want to blame you. I want to punish you. I think that's the other thing that comes with blame is I'm looking to punish someone for how I'm experiencing this.
In my, you know, line of work these days, mm-hmm. I primarily work with pastors
mm-hmm.
who do the same thing.
Yeah,
they do the exact same thing. It just happened on the freeway with this guy, is they abuse their authority.
Mm-hmm.
They exploit what they think is weakness
mm-hmm.
rather than protect it.
Yeah.
This is your job. When you have this much responsibility and authority, your job is to be a protector,
right.
Not present like a predator.
Yeah.
And, the frustration of it all is that when you break through all that,
mm-hmm.
typically the person goes, oh, I had no idea that people were experiencing me like that.
Right.
Like, well, I'm glad we broke through.
I'm glad we finally got some good feedback.
Maybe here we can end this.
Yeah. And I think another exchange of, you know, this same example is in, you know, husband-wife dynamics. That's usually what I'm talking with is where that experience of not feeling protected and more feeling like having to be protected from their spouse.
Yeah.
You know, and this, again, I there's two people in this exchange always. Mm-hmm. And to know what is yours to own and what is yours to just fight against this abuse thing. And I think, you know, really the best way of going after not being a victim anymore is looking at those five principles that mm-hmm. we talk about.
Mm-hmm. And it starts with being powerful.
Yeah.
Like if you, victims are not powerful. Mm-hmm. And there's a classic mistake of working with victims is to, in the name of advocacy, mm-hmm. leave them powerless. Mm-hmm. They're on their own. They're powerless. They're encouraged to blame someone for their powerlessness and then they stay stuck. They stay stuck in a loop, and then they'll go find someone else for protection. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. That turns out to be a predator.
Yeah.
And loop, loop, loop.
Exactly. So I think, you know, again, the antidote to mm-hmm. being a victim is really picking up and studying these five principles, and being a powerful person is step number one, which requires so much of a shift in your mind.
It does. And it's scary to mm-hmm. move responsibility to you, because for a lot of folks, it doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't, they're not skilled at it. Mm-hmm. And so nature, you know, your design, Adam and Eve, we mm-hmm. see Adam and Eve, yeah, Adam, yeah. Adam moves responsibility away from himself when God says, "Did you do that thing I asked you not to do?" Well,
she made
that
me do
woman
it.
That uh-huh. you gave me.
Exactly.
You're like, okay, you're not the victim here, Adam. You knew better.
Yeah.
You did it anyway. But, and that's the piece. We learned that in childhood. Mm-hmm. And it's in there. It wants out. We mm-hmm. want to push responsibility away. Mature adult gathers up their responsibility and mm-hmm. says, "I'm powerful. Mm-hmm. I apologize for any damage I've done. I apologize for scaring you. I own this. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to be punished by your anger or your disrespect. So if you want to have this conversation, it's got to stay respectful."
Yeah. You know, we went to a leadership conference and you were speaking and you talked about how Adam was the first victim, you know, and you displayed and kind of walked through, you know, he blamed Eve, but then everything from there on is through the eyes of the victim, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just a crazy concept that we are fighting against changing what our view is since the garden,
mm-hmm.
you know, and did you put that in Unpunishable? I can't remember.
It's the whole paradigm of, what happens when you try to save your own life? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus says you'll lose it.
Yeah.
The drive of self-preservation is what leads you to blame, avoid, and to turn people into prey, you know, turn people into enemies. Mm-hmm. Give yourself permission to turn your love off, mm-hmm. to let fear become the power thing. So the second principle would be, you know, love over fear. Mm-hmm. You have to choose love, because what naturally sets up is fear.
Yeah.
And here comes the worst you got.
Right. Which again, I think if we're talking about the victim and what you need to own is the responsibility that there's two people mm-hmm. in this dynamic, this relationship, and taking the ownership of what's yours to look at, to confront, which I think, you know, working with people that are in situations that are painful, scary, you know, everything that we've discussed, I think that it's that when, you know, I've had friends that are in these relationships that are victims of some form of abuse, and it is frustrating to not see the light bulb come on mm-hmm. of you have to own your side of it. Because mm-hmm. they're the kindest, sweetest people on the planet, mm-hmm. and they don't, they don't even realize that they are putting blame somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I think, again, that becoming a powerful person is really the biggest first step, and being willing to look at what can I own that I've said yes to and given permission to that's mm-hmm. allowed this culture, behavior, disrespect to be part of this relationship.
And we live in such a day that it feels almost vogue to be a victim.
Yeah.
You know, and to circle in the triangulation, what we call the irresponsibility cycle. And we call it irresponsibility cycle because we're not trying to assign blame anywhere. We just want you to not participate in being irresponsible with your role.
Yeah.
Whether it is you see some abuse, so your movement is to bring empowerment, mm-hmm. not to bring blame. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with the offender. Your goal is to bring a confrontation mm-hmm. that empowers them to clean up their mess, that empowers them to deal with the brokenness that is leading to hurting other people. Mm-hmm. And your role as an advocate or a counselor or someone who's doing the intervention mm-hmm. is really to orchestrate empowerment for everyone to grow, learn, and change. Now, when people don't own it, don't adjust, well, here come the boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, how many pet rattlesnakes do you have?
Right.
None.
Yeah.
The answer is none. Stop.
You shall not enter.
Get rid of your rattlesnake farm.
Yeah.
And you, don't be a rattlesnake.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember you talking about the difference between empathy and sympathy mm-hmm. when you're working with people and how just to identify what one brings and what the other one doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, where there's empowerment versus encouragement almost.
Alignment,
yeah. And, you know, another really great course, if this is a field you're in and working with people, is the People Helping People course that we have. Yeah. I think that's a really great place to help you know what your role is and when you're helping people to either identify that they're the rattlesnake or that they're living on a rattlesnake farm, you know. And so those are two things that really stuck out to me that I'm always looking at when I'm working with people. Am I bringing empathy or am I bringing sympathy right now?
And at the time of this recording, mm-hmm. Unpunishable is coming out soon.
Oh, yes, you know, true.
Our new e-course is coming out. So that really encapsulates mm-hmm. what we're talking about.
It's good stuff. Don't worry. I know we're cramming a lot in here, but we're going to keep talking through this. But we're going to go ahead and take some questions up next. So mm-hmm. it should be fun.
If you love helping people and creating real change in the lives of others, then you're going to want the Loving on Purpose Life Academy course, People Helping People. After taking this course, you'll be able to help people solve their problems and watch them transform their lives in the process. Visit lovingonpurpose.com, click courses, and get access to People Helping People today.
All right, so our first question comes from Kate.
Kate, all right.
When you have recognized that you are participating in powerless choices or behavior or kind of a victim posture, what have you figured out is helpful practically to shift you out of that posture? What are some of the things that you do or think or practice or say that helps shift gears on that personally when you find yourself in that place?
Well, I'd say the five principles, mm-hmm. you know, am I powerful? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with me?
What are you going to do about it? Yeah.
Yeah. Who's my counselor, love or fear? Mm-hmm. Is my goal connection or distance? Mm-hmm. Is my communication increasing or decreasing anxiety? You know, mm-hmm. is it respectful or disrespectful? Yeah. And what is mine to protect and what is not mine to try to control? Mm-hmm.
And I think even, you know, in the communication piece and boundaries, when you're working with someone that doesn't have any respect for your boundaries, it doesn't really care what you have to say, you know, kind of I encourage people to kind of go off of a script. Like, this is what I'm going to say over and over and over again. This is what I'm going to do if things escalate. Because you start to go into this dialogue and then you lose what you were coming in to do.
Classically, abusive relationships or abusers in a relationship are super manipulative.
Yeah.
They are humiliating. They are aggressive. Mm-hmm. They are they're victims. They'll turn themselves into the victim. If you try to be powerful, they act like the victim, mm-hmm. like you're trying to do something to them instead of realizing that You're just telling them what you're going to do.
Right.
That's because you've always been selfish, and you're yeah. like, oh, geez, here we go. You know.
Right.
So the storm mm-hmm. that you have to navigate, a script is a great idea.
Yeah. It just feels like practically that helps people stay successful in communicating what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does feel like there's a storm coming their way with, and then having a plan, you know, especially when it's a big, hard step of asking someone to maybe leave or removing yourself from the environment. Having a plan and having community that you're able to lean on if it gets to a more serious place, it just creates a place that's safe, that, again, you're bringing empathy. You're not trying to take ownership, but you're pushing them back in the game. So I think not being afraid of letting in some community that's healthy that would be able to help navigate, you know, a safe place for you there.
And again, you know, typically an abuser will isolate mm-hmm. their victim so they have all the control. They control the money, they yeah. control the friends, they control the family, they control the vehicles. You know, they move them out into the middle of nowhere and there's no way that they can just it's all pre-planned. It's premeditated to mm-hmm. isolate a human. So it is like escaping from a communist country or something. You know, you really have to be intentional mm-hmm. about accessing resources. The longer you've been in an abusive relationship, the more the abuser isolates them.
Yeah. So again, those are the practical things. Get that script. Don't let go of community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a big warning sign. I
would
be
right, and that would be early on in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, do not let go of your family. Don't let go of your community. Mm-hmm. Don't let go of other leaders that have a voice in your life.
Yeah.
Don't let those things dissipate, because the abuser is threatened by other authority, threatened by any other influences in your life that offer support, and don't give them total control.
Yeah, it's all true. So good. All right, next one comes from Sarah.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. So my question is related to justice. So if I ever see a situation where I feel like someone is being dealt like the lesser hand, or especially if it's somebody that I care about, like if I sense that, or if I feel like something is unjustified that it's happening to them, I start to feel really angry and I feel the need to stand up for them and to get involved, even if the situation has nothing to do with me. So how do I stop that? How do I stop trying to save the world? Because this isn't helpful for me. I don't want to be involved with these things. And I don't want to feel, I don't think this is helpful for the other person either. So I would love to know your thoughts on how I can stop trying to save the world and just manage myself rather than try and manage other people.
Hi, girl after my own heart. I get it. I get the struggle. I do get the struggle. But I mean, she kind of answered her own question, is that managing yourself. You know, there's one piece.
Yeah.
I think for me, in helping people I care about, you know, I've had to get to the place where realizing I'm having the same conversations and they're still not doing anything. And I am trying to help fix a problem that they have not identified as a problem yet. And so I become frustrated and exhausted, which is where I have to be able to step back of this is not a problem yet for you. And I will, I mean, the joke is you always want me on your team because I will fight. Mom's the same way, you know. We are defenders and we will hold that line.
Ellie
the cat, yes, you know. But I, again, being aware of there is no problem that this person has, I think that's probably one of the big things is for me.
I think what Sarah's bringing up is, you know, I see somebody obviously being mistreated,
mm-hmm.
unjustly treated, you know, and so they need a defender. They need yeah. someone, they need someone powerful to come and take on the bad guy.
Yeah.
Take on the bad guy, defend them from the bad guy, remove the bad guy, imprison the bad guy.
Be the hero.
Beat the snot out of the bad guy. Somebody's got to deal with the bad guy. And that's the
pay.
That's the deception,
mm-hmm.
is when you, in your compassion, think that the solution is dealing with the most resistant, irresponsible, belligerent, disrespectful person in the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to go, oh, I'm going to be more belligerent. I'm going to be more aggressive. And you're like, no, that is you chasing the lizard's tail. The lizard snapped off its tail, and the lizard gone.
Yeah.
And you're over there attacking not the problem, just a wiggly thing. Mm-hmm. You turn to the victim, and you say, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. How can I help you? What do you think the problem is here? What have you tried so far? Has anything come close to working? Would you like my input on what is happening here? Mm-hmm. I'd love to help you. I have a couple ideas. Would any of these work? Do you want my help in this, or do you know someone that you can get help from? Mm-hmm. When would you like to activate this plan?
Yeah.
And just a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
In Unpunishable, this is the 5 E's.
Mm, yeah.
But it is very much you dealing with the person that has the most motivation to change something.
Yeah.
It's certainly not the bad guy.
Right.
The bad guy has zero motivation to change. I'm talking to this person who's hurting, scared, doesn't want to do this one more time. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do?
Yep.
And if that person has a problem, then you will probably just change the world,
yeah.
Their world.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. That's the part I probably missed. I mean, I'm just getting there, but that's it. That's what she needs, that first identification of not attacking the person that looks like they need to be held in their spot.
It's just so easy global at the moment, which is attack the bad guy. Everybody attack the bad guy. Yeah. Like, well, who's the bad guy? Well, right now it's them. Tomorrow it's going to be us.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And that's how we keep the cycle going.
Yeah.
So, all right, great question, Sarah. Okay, the next one comes from Sammy.
Hi, Kyle, Tim. My question is, I'm really struggling with knowing where to start from and being practical with choosing connection with my family. Well, my mom especially. I mean, it's not until the past 2-3 years with getting in touch with your resources that I've realized how, you know, this shame and fear cycle has been the theme in our family relationship. And it's almost like I've been controlled for the most part of my life. And I just went through like a really crazy life-changing, painful season. And I experienced so much rejection and name-calling from them. And it's now that it's like I'm on the other side, I've always wanted to build, you know, have a real relationship with them, but it's like I feel like I've forgiven them, but I don't know like where to start from to be practical about actually building a relationship with them and building connection. Well, my mom especially, because it's like they just don't see anything wrong with how things have been done, and I'm the bad person. And so, yeah, I'm really struggling, and I'd love to get your thoughts on sort of like where to start from with this.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my first thoughts are talk about the rattlesnake and the rattlesnake farm, you know, and I can have a relationship with you. This is what I need. Okay, you can't handle that. Okay, well, this is what my relationship looks like you. I think with you, it feels like there's layers to, are you able to have a relationship? You're not able. Okay, am I able to go over there for an hour and it to be a pleasant experience?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not. Can I have a phone call with you and it go well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does feel like she's kind of dipping her toes back in the water a little bit of where, you know, what's the line of what they can handle in the relationship and rebuilding. And I think the keeping connection open and wanting to pursue connection, but at the same time being a powerful person and setting boundaries in play.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first thoughts.
Yeah, all that. I'll bet you, and it's kind of classic, if you go around and interview every one of the family members, mm-hmm. they all feel like victims.
Yeah.
They all feel like they are doing that thing, and they said this, and they hurt me, and they. And so it's not until you move responsibility to you, to your life, and you mm-hmm. say, mm-hmm. I'm powerful, love is my counselor, I'm going to choose connection, I'm going to choose the way I communicate to be honoring and respectful, and I am not fixing one of their problems.
Yeah.
And that has to be my new rhythm, my new belief paradigm mm-hmm. that I direct myself with my family. And so it could be, you know, I have emails.
Yeah.
Love you guys, thinking about you. Hey, here's some fun stuff happening at the fair this week, yeah. and maybe we can get on a call.
Yeah.
Last one didn't go so hot. Just hoping
we all
learned our lessons, yeah. and we can try again. Yeah. Something, you know, just, but there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope for reconciliation, and that's the heart of a boundary
mm-hmm.
versus you hurt me, I'm going to now hurt you with rejection.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sammy, I would just encourage you to, it was almost a script you gave earlier, so that could be helpful. And I think I just be patient in the process, but not being afraid of staying powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, the next question. Actually, I think we're taking any more questions.
I think we're out of question time. Okay. I think we're moving to testimony time.
Oh, the testimony. It's the good news.
Yep.
The good news of the day. We could call it the good news. Good news minute.
We'll do that when we come back.
Yep.
If you're listening to this and still a little bit overwhelmed on what to do and where to start, I'd encourage you to get family coaching by Loving on Purpose. Family coaching is one-on-one coaching to help you with your toughest relationship problems. A family coach is going to help you identify root problems, put together strategic solutions, and then walk with you as you implement the plan. To learn more about family coaching, go to lovingonpurpose.com, click coaching, and connect with a coach today.
Okay, so testimonies it is. Well, just one, but because we don't have enough time for all of them.
I know.
And each section. But this testimony comes from Amber.
Amber.
Kylo has impacted my life in every relationship that I have. It's either helped me to determine which relationships are safe, how to structure relationships in my life based on the circle of intimacy, highlighted how I was choosing fear over love and disconnecting every time I got afraid, or also the model of triangulation was like, oh, that's been a model for my entire life up until now. We go through the Kylo course on a yearly basis. And so I've been through the book and videos about, I think I'm on my sixth time, and I learn something every single time. Thank you.
Oh, she is studying this.
She's been through this course more than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I mean, she pretty much almost listed all the five principles. I was laughing. I was like, I think she got all of them. Maybe communication was the only one, but she was right there.
She was rolling.
She has almost named all of them.
She's done this before.
That's great.
Maybe we should get Amber on the program
here. I know. That would be fun. It's just fun to hear when people, you know, they make it a priority to get healthy.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, there's lots of really great books out there, and it's, you know, Keep Your Love On is up there with just a powerful book for, I think, any stage of your life, single, engaged, married, divorced, remarried, kids, no kids. I mean, it just fits them all. But to read it once, yes, it's so powerful. It could transform your life. But to become a, you know, just really steward the message and then study it and you know, carve away the time every year to make it part of your life. And, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that she's still learning stuff. I mean, for me, when I teach parenting, every time I go and I'm teaching parenting, I always walk away laughing at myself like, oh, I could be better at that. You know, I'm teaching my own self and when I'm confronted with the message. So it's the same thing. She's just really diving in and it's exciting to see, you know, I don't know what her family looks like, but I'm sure it's been impacted.
Something I'm noticing is, you know, as we do these testimonies, they're women.
There's a lot of women, yes.
They're women. I don't know. I'm searching my mind, right? Like, what was the last guy I gave a testimony about his whole life being changed because he became a student of relationships? You know, when you read Kylo, mm-hmm. Keep Your Love On, it's a little bit like watching a YouTube video on how to build a house. Mm. Like, okay, here you go. Watch this. You know, 4-hour video on how to build a house. Yeah. But don't ever refer to it again, ever. Okay, just keep in your mind, here's how you build a house. Now, just go build a house. And I think that becoming a student is something that I can see a guy watching. Like, I watch these do-it-yourself videos. Mm-hmm. They have millions of views.
Yeah.
Millions of views.
I'm maybe like, you need to read it on
like,
YouTube.
Like, here is how you put a hole in the wall. 3 million views. Like, what?
I don't know. You need a how-to put a hole in the wall.
Oh, it was for a dryer vent. Oh, you know, yeah. I was going to put that thing in Mom's she shed. Gotcha. You know, I'm like, how am I going to do this without tearing everything? And it's 3 million views. And seriously, I do a how to cook shish kebabs, you know, mm-hmm. Yep. And 1.8 million views. I'm like, seriously. But when it comes to one of the most important things that you'll ever do in your life, did you read that? Yeah, I read most of it. I read most of it. More than once? No, I got it. I mean, it was good stuff. There was some good stuff in there. Like, gentlemen, start your engines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think friend of ours just recently made a radical turnaround. And one of the things he pointed to, I mean, he's been married for years and he was essentially tormenting his wife just with his selfish reaction to her not reading his mind and then just living in punishment mode towards her all the time. Mm. And about a month ago, he says, I remember hearing something that you said 6 years ago at a men's retreat. You said that husbands love your wives as Christ loves the church is actually an assignment for men to be the standard bearers of love in their families. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I did say that. I remember I've said it about 100 times.
At least.
But when it clicked on for him, mm-hmm. he all of a sudden has a new paradigm of himself in his house. And it's showing up. I texted him the other day. I said, I just want you to know I noticed mm-hmm. that you've been very tender towards your wife. Well done. Good yeah. job. It looks great on you. Keep going. But he's becoming a student of his role as a man in bring in the love. Mm-hmm. And it has to happen. You have to do that. You don't just watch a video. You don't just read a book. You have to keep going back to these resources and yeah. become a student.
It's true. And I think that, you know, I can speak personally from having a husband that made this, you know, what he studied. Obviously, he works for Loving on Purpose now, so it's part of his job, but he did it long before that. But, you know, I may have shared this before, but I just remember his birthday we just had was, you know, again, I'm a feisty woman and I'm a lot to handle. I know this, you know, I know that I get emotional and I know that anger is easy for me to access. And I know that justice and punishment can be present quickly, you know, but the doing a really good job of him being a powerful person has really transformed our dynamic. And the level of respect that brings in our relationship, you know, and I think that it really what it does is for me is when he has that courage to lead, it's so easy for me to give him my yes, you know. And I think that that's so many dynamics that I watch is, you know, the husband wants a yes from his wife, but he's not leading in it for her to be able to feel safe enough to give it. Mm. And, you know, I think that being a student, you know, of just what you were saying of is really what changes the game for the fellas. Mm-hmm. So those who are secretly watching that are fellas out there, mm-hmm. I think this might be a good opportunity for you to change the dynamic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think speaking for most of the ladies, we just need you to be that leader of love.
Paying attention. You know, I can't imagine the number of hunting magazines that have sold over the decades.
Yeah.
And you learn more about whitetail migratory
patterns
than you do about your wife's life. You know, mm-hmm. you're like, I just never really thought of it that way. Like, well, please do. Please do.
Yeah. Ben and I had this funny conversation just this morning. Because my birthday's coming up, and I have not really given a list out. And I finally got a list out to him. And early years of marriage, I'm a gifts love language. I mean, they were horrible. I love him dearly, but they were so funny gifts because we're learning each other still. But this year, I gave him this list, and he's like, I'm proud of myself. He said, I named most of those things on that list, you know, and that's what Ben's doing. He's paying attention. Mm-hmm. And just learning something that he has such value for, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah, and it's something he wants to get good at. And mm-hmm. how in the world are you going to get good at something if you don't become a student of it?
Mm-hmm. So it's so fun to hear. Again, I think that Amber's done the hard job of leaning in and carving out that time. And I think that, one of my biggest hopes is for fathers to just rise this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in my lifetime, if I can see that whole healthy family, that standard be relifted to what I think is heaven's design, mm-hmm. you know, to where fathers really lead in love and that the standard of what it should be and what we're protecting and pursuing and, you know, and really the strength that they were designed to carry. You know, I think that makes such a difference for all of us to work in the way that we're supposed to.
And we have some significant room to make up because a lot of young men in particular, everybody, when you break down a family into survival mode, nobody's thriving. Nobody is picking up the skills that they need to create success. They're picking up the skills they need to find a way to get their needs met. Mm-hmm. And it's typically through some manipulative form. So it's either play the victim mm-hmm. and have somebody rescue you, or be the bad guy and just take what you want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that ongoing triangulation of irresponsibility is raising our children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so our children are being schooled in that. Mm-hmm. They're a student of triangulation. They're not a student of love. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, more than ever, we are going to have to shift over to be powerful, choose the counselor of love, choose connection, be respectful in your communication, set healthy boundaries. That is going to have to be shouted from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. If we're going to accelerate whole healthy families are going to save the world, people have got to get this.
Yep. And that's why we do the Kylo Show.
That's why we keep doing it.
We keep doing it almost to 20 episodes. And we are going to say the same thing so many different ways and over again, which is we need your help. Please help us change the world. Help us encourage people to be powerful, to have boundaries, to have, you know, connection, the goal, good communication. I mean, all these things were just, we need you to chase after them. And I think that, again, Amber, I'm assuming you're listening because you submitted the testimony, but we are so proud of you.
Yes, way to go,
basically,
Amber.
We just want to say we're so proud of you.
Thank you.
For leading in this great example, and I hope to meet you someday, you know, and just you tell us. I'm the student of Kylo. We love to hear when there's students of Keep Your Love
On. And everybody else, you know, send your questions in, send your testimonies in.
Yeah.
Just go to our website. It'll lead you right through it. But contribute, you know, keep dropping things in here because we're going to keep going through these topics in different ways. And your question will find a category, and we'll be sure to include that.
Yeah, and it's just fun. It's our way of feeling connected to what you're doing and championing you in the best way that we can from here. Mm-hmm. So, again, remember that those whole healthy families are going to save the world, and we're so excited to partner with you in that process, and we believe in you. And go and be a student, because I think it'll change your life. So thanks so much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk more about the responsibility cycle and how it affects culture. Never miss an episode by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armerding, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Anna Hill, Leah Alexander, and Sherry Silk, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.